bodybuilding, body shaping, physique competitions, bikini competitions, standing on stage and having people judge your body and whether or not it's in great shape. And for some people, of course, there's nothing worse. I couldn't think of anything worse than standing on stage in my swimmers and having people judge my body. For other people, it's the most exciting part of their year. They train for it, they eat for it, they think about it, it's their thing. There are professionals who that's what they do for a living. They keep their body in such great shape that they can compete on a regular basis and they're paid money to go and do guest posing and show off their body and how amazing it is. Then in the middle somewhere, there might be people who would like to do it, but they're too scared to, but really admire and respect the people who do. Or there's the people who keep their body in great shape, even though they may never stand on a stage and have people judge their body. They certainly would like to have a physique that's in good enough shape to be able to stand on stage and to have people admire it. And there's some people who don't do it for the stage, but they might do it for a photo shoot. So one time in my life, a bucket list, I want to be able to look amazing in my swimmers or in my bikini, and I'm going to have photos taken. And it's an interesting conversation when you ask people, would you like to stand on stage and have your body judged by people? So the question is, as an exercise professional, as a parent, as a teacher, as a coach, if somebody comes to you and says, I would like to compete on stage, or I would like to have a beach body ready, beautiful body, and can you please help me get it into great shape? What do you do? Because unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it, it's a major discipline. People will tell you it's really hard. You have to diet really hard. You have to train really hard. Some people will tell you that you have to be really fanatical about not only everything that you put into your body, but the way you pose your body, your suntan when you get on stage, the kind of costume that you choose. They all have to be perfect. So some people will tell you that it's a really hard thing to do. There's other people that do it for fun. They're usually in great shape, and every so often they put their swimmers on and get on stage, and they'll probably tell you that it's pretty easy. So if somebody wants you to help them to compete on stage or to get their body bikini ready so that they can feel incredibly wow about the way they look, specifically about the way they look, then what's your answer? And as an exercise professional, it can sometimes be a tough question, because if you believe that people have to do all of those fanatical, tough, hard things to get their body into great shape, you may not want them to do that. You might not want to take the risk of screwing around with somebody's headspace. And I share with you very personally that if somebody came to me and said, I have a goal to compete on stage, can you please help me? It would be an interesting headspace for me. And it's a personal thing, and I'll share with you why. It was never a goal of mine. I never, ever wanted somebody to judge my body while I was standing on stage. However, there came a time, there came a year, when somebody actually said to me that I couldn't. You're not good enough. You can't stand on stage in a bikini and have your body judged in a bodybuilding competition, in a physique competition, Rowie, because you're too small. In that exact same year, somebody shared with me that I couldn't run a marathon because I was too big and I wouldn't be able to take my big body over 42.2 kilometres. Loving a challenge and having neither run a full marathon or competed on stage, I decided to take on both in the same year. So I ran my first marathon and I competed on my first and last bodybuilding competition in the same year. And interestingly, it's certainly the marathon I did 21 times after I did my first one. So I obviously loved it. From a bodybuilding stand on stage, have somebody judge your body, I've never done it again, and I have absolutely no desire to do it again. I also have massive respect for the people who do. And the question that I'm always asking now is it possible to compete on stage, to have a low body fat percentage, beautiful physique, without having to do any crazy things to your body? Because unfortunately, there are lots of people who compete on stage where they look amazing, but unfortunately their headspace, their mental health, and then afterwards their physical health often suffers. So there are a lot of people who go through the process of being extremely disciplined and extremely focused and even fanatical about getting their body into a certain shape at a certain body fat percentage. And they stand on stage and they get judged. And please consider that as an interesting process. You've got a group of people on the ground looking up at you from their judging tables, and they're judging your body. That's what this is. It's a physique, a body, a muscles and body fat percentage judgment. They're not judging your character. They're not judging whether or not you're a nice person or a top level exercise professional or a great parent or a beautiful person. They're judging your body. And for some people, that's really exciting. And for other people, that can be a very emotional and even mental challenging experience. To have somebody tell you you're too fat here, or you're too thin here, or you're not big enough there, or you're too big there, which is exactly what the competition is all about, can be very challenging for some people. So it's something to keep in mind. If somebody says to you, I want to compete, you may feel responsible to tell them all of the upsides of competing and all of the downsides. And obviously, as an exercise professional, I imagine that you don't want to hurt your client. That's the number one rule. I will never hurt my client. And if you take that a step further, does that also mean mentally? I won't hurt my client mentally. And if there is a risk that this person could at some stage have some mental challenges, have some kind of mental headspace that is not healthy in relationship to competing on stage, is that something that we should consider? And of course, I would never want to take somebody's dream away, ever. If somebody really wants to do this, then I would certainly want to help them. However, in my personal experience, and everybody has a different personal experience, I would never tell somebody not to compete in a body shaping competition, but I certainly will never do it again. And the personal reason is this. Before I competed, I had absolutely no understanding of calories or macronutrients or dieting or calorie counting or anything to do with having to lose weight. My entire life, I just loved food. I had a great relationship with food. I ate when I was hungry. I stopped eating when I was full. If you asked me how many calories there were in anything, I couldn't tell you because I didn't care. And it was all about enjoying my food and enjoying my life and enjoying my exercise. And I've always been in reasonably good shape. However, to stand on stage and have somebody judge your body, it's a different kind of shape. And I'm married to a man who has trained Miss USA and several top-level bodybuilders in Australia, and he's an exercise scientist and a choreographer. So I was in good hands. I said to my husband, I would like to compete in a bodybuilding shaping competition. Let's get me ready. Being a bit impatient, he suggested that 12 months was probably a good time frame. And I said, yeah, great. However, I'm very impatient, and I also discovered very quickly that my love for food was a lot greater than my desire to compete on stage. So I decided that, hey, I'm not going to do this slowly. I'm going to do this fast. And I had to drop a certain percentage of body fat, of course, because you can't see your muscles if you've got a higher body fat percentage. Now, I wasn't obese. I wasn't overweight. I didn't have lots and lots of body fat. However, to stand on stage, you have to now cut that. The tiniest bit of body fat has to come off so that you can see your muscles. So for the first time in my life, I started to count calories, and I was very aware, not of carbohydrate as such being a bad thing, just really aware of how many calories there are in a piece of bread or a scoop of pasta. Or I'd never counted calories before, and here I was now counting calories, very aware of how many calories there were in everything that I ate. And my husband, being an expert in training people for bodybuilding competitions and training elite athletes, he did prepare for me a very special eating plan that cut my calories. And because I wanted to do this so quickly, cut my calories pretty quickly so that I could get rid of the excess body fat quite quickly. Now, on top of that, I set a goal for a certain date to compete in a competition, and I was going to go a month before to watch. I wanted to see what I had to do and what I was in for. Me being impatient, I decided, bugger that, I'm going to compete in that one. So I then went to my husband and said, I'm going to compete in now a month earlier. So the calories had to be cut even further. The training increased And when I say training increased, I didn't train any more than once a week. I was lifting really, really heavy weights once a week and then taking the time to recover. But I was also training for a marathon at the same time. So I was doing a lot of interval sprinting, a lot of hill sprinting, a lot of stair sprints to get really fit. And of course, when you get fit, it's also really good for burning fat. But when you're on low calories, that can be a really complicated process. And this happy, positive lady, I found it very much more difficult to be a happy, positive lady because my brain was not getting the energy that it needed for the amount of exercise that I was doing. And I'm just sharing with you personal experience. I also had a very unfortunate headspace change because I used to love my food and now I started hating it. I started hating the fact that I had to eat food, but I had to get calories in, but I didn't want to eat food because I wanted to cut my calories. So I started to get a really interesting mental headspace that I will share with you very openly and honestly, I never want to have again. So this woman who had a great relationship with food, who loved her food, who ate whatever she wanted to, whenever she wanted to, and was now counting calories. Now, I competed, and to cut a very long story short, there was 15 women in my category on the day, and the organizer of the event called me and shared with me that 14 of those women had pulled out and that I was going to compete on my own if I wanted to compete at all. So I rocked up, did my routine, flexed my muscles, and went home with my big trophy. So that was my one experience with competing in bodybuilding. And the reason I share with you that I'm never going to do it again is that my relationship with food was forever changed. You can't unlearn what you already know. So before, when I didn't know how many calories there were in a chocolate bar or a biscuit, now I know. And I actually don't want to know. I just want to enjoy my food. And I don't want to be thinking about every calorie that I put into my mouth. I don't want to be thinking about how many hours of exercise I have to do to burn off those calories. I think it's a very unnatural and unhealthy way to live. And that's just my personal opinion. And I don't want to live like that. And I've seen too many people who really get screwed up when they compete on stage. Immediately after they compete, they either binge eat and get sick, or they eat far too much food than they would normally eat and feel guilty about it, or their relationship with food, like me, is completely destroyed. And I just don't want that for anybody. I just love it. I love watching people enjoy their food, and I feel a little bit sad when I watch people eat a really yummy meal or try to eat a yummy meal, but they feel so guilty because it's got too many calories or too much fat or too many carbohydrates in it, as they would say. So is it possible to have a bikini body, to have a body that's ready for the beach, to have a body that's in great shape without having to do all the fanatical things? And that's, of course, something you're going to have to work out for yourself. But, of course, there are people, and I love meeting them. When I meet somebody who's in really great shape, like really good shape, they've got low body fat percentage, you can see their ripped abdominals and their tight butt cheeks, and you can see the three lines in their shoulders, and they've got outlines of their quads and their hamstrings. And I love asking people who look like that, what do you do? And there's not very many of them, but I have found people who don't do anything to look like that except live their normal life. They have a great relationship with food and they have a great relationship with their exercise program. So they eat for fun, for performance, for health, but not consciously. They've just found a healthy weight and a healthy size and they love the way they look and they just continue to do the same thing. They don't fanatically exercise. They just have an incredibly active lifestyle. And does that have anything to do with genetics? And that is a really good question, because some people have mums and dads and brothers and sisters that are overweight and out of shape and they're in great shape, and other people have mums and brothers and fathers and sisters who are in really good shape and they are too. So I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that we all get to choose. We get to choose what we eat. We get to choose how much we exercise. We get to choose whether or not we lift heavy things. We get to choose whether or not we have a positive attitude. We decide what we think. Nobody's controlling what we think, what we tell ourselves. No one's holding us down in the morning, stopping us from exercising. Nobody's forcing us to eat food we don't want to eat. We get to make all of those choices, which means then if we choose to have a body that's in great shape, that you can see the muscles, and that with any time frame you could stand on stage and compete. And they're the interesting people. And I've met a few of these now, people who keep their body in the kind of shape that if they wanted to do anything, they could. So if somebody said, let's go run marathon, they could. If somebody said, let's go compete in a body shaping competition, they could. If someone said, let's go skiing in Aspen for 2 weeks, they could because they're fit and strong enough to do it. If somebody said, let's go climb Mount Kilimanjaro, they could because they're fit enough and strong enough to do it. They keep their body in the kind of shape that they can go and live their life exactly the way they want to live it, including getting into their bikini or their swimmers and going to the beach and looking amazing. So is it possible that we could all choose? And is it also possible that if we're out of shape, that too is a choice? Is it possible that everything we've ever eaten, we're the person that's been there and made the choice? And I share this consistently. Nobody has ever snuck into my house at night, opened my mouth and forced food down my throat that I didn't want to eat. I have decided to put everything into my mouth that I've ever put in there. I've decided everything I've decided to drink. It's always been my choice. No one's forced me to eat something I don't want, and no one's forced me to stop eating the things that I do love. Same with exercise. Nobody's ever held me down and said, Rowie, you can't exercise. And I've made all of those choices. And perhaps we all have that choice. And is it possible that if we choose to eat, to have the kind of body that could compete in a body shaping, bodybuilding, bikini competition, that we could make that choice and have that body? Is it possible that genetics has something to do with that, and that some people are just short or tall or have wider hips or skinnier hips or broader shoulders or smaller shoulders? And of course the answer is yes. And when it comes to body shaping and bodybuilding and bikini competitions, sometimes genetics has a lot to do with it. Because it's really difficult to put a large amount of muscle size on a really tall male that's an ectomorph, a person who's just naturally skinny. It's difficult to do that. That's a genetic thing. If you're a woman who's got a smaller upper body and a large lower body, so you've got a flat chest and a big bum, very difficult to get that body into the kind of shape that would win a bodybuilding competition. So sometimes it's just purely genetics, and maybe that's not a choice. But here is a great choice. Could we choose to be in the best shape possible, to be healthy, fit and strong, and most importantly, to be mentally healthy, that we appreciate all the things about our body that's great and we accept the things that we can't change? And I always have a giggle because my body's very interesting. I'm a size 16 in the upper body and a size 10 in the lower body, which makes it very difficult to buy dresses, for example. But I really appreciate the fact that I've got a strong upper body. I really appreciate the fact that I've got broad shoulders because it means I can lift heavy things. I really appreciate the fact that I'm healthy, fit and strong. And if I don't have the perfect body, what is that anyway? Depending on who you think's got a perfect body or what you think is perfect, perhaps your own body is perfect because you don't have anywhere else to live. This is your house for the rest of your life. So how about we appreciate the beautiful body that we've got? Let's keep it healthy, fit and strong if we choose to. And if we choose to stand on a stage in a bikini or our swimmers, let's do everything that we need to do to be healthy, fit and strong and do it, rather than let's do this and become mentally challenged or have a headspace that's unhealthy because we've done things to our body to get it into shape. Because ultimately, isn't it, the connection should be I feel fantastic and I look fantastic, not just I look fantastic. Because wouldn't it be really sad if you look fantastic but you don't feel fantastic about yourself? And I use that word again. Obviously, every day is about waking up and loving your life, and very difficult to love your life if you hate your body or you hate the shape of certain parts of your body. Let's be appreciative of what we've got and choose to do the things that we love to do. Wouldn't that be awesome?